Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments or questions you would like to make during this broadcast, you can call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you feel a little shy about calling in, that's not a problem. You can email me, and I can ask the guest the question for you at bonkaye, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, at AOL.com. Before I introduce our special guest this evening, I just want to make a few announcements. First, I put on my website and just announced my upcoming my last newsletter this week that we're having our upcoming healing weekend that will be in Houston the first weekend in March. And I'm really excited about that because Houston's really a powerful place with powerful women. And I know that when you go there and meet some of the women from Texas and Houston, you will really feel renewed, encouraged, inspired, and ready to make a move in your life as far as healing. Some of you are familiar with Grace and Wendy, two of our women who come on our show and really inspire our women, Wendy with her list of words and all her different lists to show us what direction we're going in, and her words of advice, and Grace is always there as an inspiration to all of us, and they will be there, as well as some of our other Texas sisters who are always there helping others, like Debbie, who's, you know, always hooking people up. So you'll get to meet her and some of our other really wonderful women. So if you are interested, it's only a few months away, but it will be a very inspirational weekend that will be life-changing for many women. It's really interesting how women come out of these healing weekends and all of a sudden their whole perspective changes and they're able to gather the strength they need to move on and push on the road to gay husband recovery. And often that means taking the next step of getting out of the household and resetting up your life. So if you need that inspiration and you need that support, I always tell women it's not a race in how fast you get there, but we all have to be walking along the same road. And sometimes you'll slide back a little bit. Sometimes you'll move ahead a little faster. But as long as you're thinking what I say straight ahead, you're going to make it to the finish line. So if you would like to join me and some other wonderful women in Houston the first weekend in March, March 1st and 2nd, please write to me at bonkaye@AOL.com, and I'll be happy to put you on the list. Details will be sent out in the next week or two. Also, I just want to remind people that we now have a Tuesday afternoon support chat here in the United States. It's moved from Tuesday evening to Tuesday afternoon. And the reason why I did that was to give some women the opportunity who are home during the day where it's difficult at night. They may have childcare responsibilities or other responsibilities or working a later schedule, the opportunity to come and chat. And we are combining it with our United Kingdom chat because we have some wonderful women in the United Kingdom. And this way we can bridge that gap across the ocean and talk to each other and see how much we have in common, even if we are miles away. So that new combination afternoon chat takes place at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2:30 p.m. Central Time, 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time, and 12:30 Pacific Time. And it's 10:30 Hawaii Time for Ruth. I just wanted to mention that to you, Ruth. So if you would like to join us at any time, UK time is 8:30 at night. And no matter where you are in the world, if you want to come, it doesn't matter what time it is, just join us. If you need details, write to me at bonkaye@AOL, and I'll be happy to send you the details. Tonight I have a special guest, and I've written about her in my newsletter. So for those of you who had a chance to catch up over the weekend, and if not, you'll be listening to this broadcast at a later time, which is fine. And she's a member of our support network, and her name is Janine Finelli. Janine, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie. I'm honored and
Never thought I'd say proud to be here, but I am.
Well,
so
I always tell women when they join us that it's the club you least want to have to join, but if you need it, it's the one that you need the most. So I certainly understand how you feel. And Janine, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your story and your journey that got you to the point of being on the show tonight.
Wow. Thank you. Again, Bonnie, for all your beautiful work. You know, you were very, very, very pivotal in me sitting here at 10 o'clock in my apartment alone, being here sharing my story. So, yeah, my road was about 12 years long, 12 years relationship, 10 years married, and second marriage. And never, ever, ever would have thought that these underlying factors would have been the reason for so much hate coming my way. And unfortunately, I know as I sit here and say this, I know so many of you, if not all of you, can relate. And so my heart is open and my heart goes out to all of you because I know as I sit here and say these words that a lot of you can recall your own events and your own challenges and your own moments where you were probably feeling exactly as I was feeling. But just the stress in the home and the lack of affection and the verbal abuse and all of these things for no reason that I could actually ever put my head around. But always knew there was something bigger than the orange juice on the second shelf of the refrigerator, or always knew it was something bigger than the math sheet of my daughter's that was left out on the kitchen counter. Things like that, I always knew in my gut. I had this visceral load that just kept telling me, there's more, there's more, there's more. So we had moments of that I would cling on to, I guess we would say. We're always hoping for something that's more and peaceful and greater and loving but the misrepresentation of all that is what really would always rear its ugly head. So I had those moments where I thought, okay, Janine, it's just you, everything's fine, it's just you, you can deal. And you kind of suppress and you kind of muzzle your feelings and muzzle your thoughts and feel like, okay, this was a good day or this was a good week. But over time, I was essentially just killing myself, and I knew it. So I kind of reached out to a few people because I was in a very a certain social circle that kind of, you know, I would not be able to be very outspoken. Let's put it that way. So I kind of went along with the plan and dressed up and put on the heels that he bought me and the pretty clothes and, you know, was the date, so to speak, and came home and wound up sleeping in another bed for years, but which was very, very...
What did you think the reason was for this, Janine? I mean, your gut feeling.
You know what? My gut feeling was maybe... sexual abuse that he never shared with me. Maybe it was, gosh, maybe there was another family somewhere because he was never home. And when he was home, he wasn't physically or mentally or emotionally present, couldn't tap into him.
Now, was he like
that
before you got married? Was there any hint before you married him that something was off?
Before we got married, it was really interesting. And one of the reasons I believe, in retrospect, looking back, one of the reasons I believe that I did marry him, even though there was that initial, after 2 or 3 months, there was that distance. There was that, God, I'm so busy, honey. I wish I could stay awake, but I worked so hard today. I'm so busy. I hurt my back. There were all those things very early. But as a divorced mom with my son, who was 6 at the time, he was very inclusive of my son and very, let's go to the hockey game and let's go to dinner and let's do this. And I thought, well, I've dated enough people to know that there's not a lot of guys out there who include kids to that level, not realizing that it was to the exclusion of a relationship with me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I overlooked a lot of things because I did have a six-year-old, and it was that family atmosphere that I guess spoke to me on a very traditional, very deep level of who I was that I craved so much. So there were signs, yeah, there were. Never that I thought possible bisexuality or homosexuality, never, because the outwardness of trying to appear heterosexual or into women was just so obvious that I thought, gosh, this person's really flirtatious. So I never, ever, ever, ever thought it, Bonnie, until that first time that I emailed you about 2 years ago.
And I think these men really throw us off because, you know, it's a daily thing where they're living an acting role of being straight, and they try to imitate what they see around them. And it's sort of like I have, you know, a friend that I know who's kind of in the, I mean, he's definitely in the closet. And he's always trying to imitate straight men, thinking that people won't know that he's not straight. But in doing so, it's like he's an acting class, and I don't know which acting he's following. So some of the things that he says is something so far out of the realm of what straight men would say. But, you know, like making dirty jokes or things. But inappropriately, that straight men wouldn't do those things. So I think that they're trying their best to, you know, be somebody who they're not, not realizing that, you know, they just can't be that. I mean, they can act like it, but eventually the truth is going to shine through. But did you find that he was verbally abusive to you also?
It happened, the verbal abuse absolutely happened when the ring went on my finger. After we got engaged, it was almost like, it was almost within hours. And the intimacy had stopped before that for a few months, but there were always such excuses that I really was at a place in my life after having been married and divorced for 6 years. I was living on my own, and, you know, I had dated different people, but it was almost immediate. But when that physical connection had completely left, and I totally didn't understand that because I was at a place in my life where I was comfortable with who I was ready to give what I asked for in a relationship. I wasn't one of these people who was like, he better do this and he better do this. And, you know, I really was ready to be the partner that I wanted in return. So I was committed, and I guess when he pulled away, I really felt that I was being selfish for asking for more. And I thought, Janine, he's working so hard. We're getting married. We're building a house. We're having a wedding. And give the guy a break. I mean, obviously, Janine, you're just asking for too much. So I did. I started suppressing when we were engaged. And overlooking and feeling selfish and guilty. And, you know, you have to give. You have to support your fiancé. You have to, you know, you have to be understanding. You have to give those back rubs. And you have to rub his feet. And you have to draw him a bath. And you have to do all these things. And yeah, that was me, I admit.
That's okay. We're all raising our hands at the same time, Janine. I don't want you to think that you're a solo act here. Everybody at home, I'm raising my hand too.
Raising my hand. Yeah.
And I think that that's the hardest part of it. We try so hard as wives, and I've never seen anyone try as hard as straight wives, because I always say, and I will always stay by this, that these men pick us for a reason, because they know the kind of women we are. We're nurturing, we're caring, we want to fix things, we want to fix everything that goes wrong in our marriage, because that's our, who we are. And when things aren't going right, rather than look to what the real problem is, we start internalizing it. And I think part of that problem is, of course, that they're reinforcing it, that it's not them, it must be you.
Right.
And I think after a while you start really believing, well, maybe I'm not doing something right. Why can't I make him happy?
Right.
And it's just, you know, running around, like I say, in the circle of crazy, you just don't know wherever to stop in that circle, because it just gets bigger and deeper.
Right.
So you learn to accept, right?
You learn to accept, and you learn to go without, all the while knowing that this is not a healthy relationship. And for me, I said, this is not how I was raised. It's, love is kind. Love is, you know, love is kind. And in fact, mm-hmm. I got that tattoo a year ago, I got that on my wrist. And it's my reminder to me and my kids that no matter what it looks like, what it drives, what it buys, what kind of wine it drinks, what kind of clothes it wears, whatever it does, if it ain't kind, it ain't love. And that goes for so many different relationships in our life. And I did. That was my gift to myself. But I knew then on the honeymoon when he told me that if I had asked for sex 3 days in, that he was flying home and leaving me there. And I thought, I mean, it broke my heart.
What a horrible thing to say. What a horrible thing to say.
It was so awful after being, you know, it was just killed me. It killed me because, as you know, Bonnie, and so many of the wonderful women who follow you and are going through this, it's so much more than sex. It is an attack on your being. It is an attack on your soul. It's such a personal attack. And then to go out with this person and see them try to flirt like a 16-year-old boy is so sabotaging. It is.
Although in many cases they are flirting with 16-year-old boys, but
mm-hmm.
that's the other side of the story.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think what hurts me most of all, and I'm sure, you know, you might have run into this in your travels of the situation, when these men come out and start attacking the women on a very, very personal, intimate level, like nothing hurts me more than when a woman tells me that her husband would say to her, I don't want you because you have a bad odor.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fight that when you know that you're doing everything to keep clean, and you are clean? But to them, the fact that you smell like a woman is a bad odor.
Absolutely.
But you're not armed with that piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Right?
And it absolutely. I mean, it's like now we look back and we might say, well, gosh, maybe I should have put your cologne on and you would have liked that. I mean,
exactly.
So, you know, I mean, I wasn't rating his cologne, that's for sure. So it is. There's so much betrayal there. And just when you think that you can't possibly be betrayed anymore, there's something else that they say, whether they attack you as a mother, you as a woman, you know, you in your career, or your, you know, maybe your career is in the office, maybe it's with the children, or whatever it is, they'll find fault with everything. And you're right, when they attack your very being, it's your hair, or it's your perfume, or you need to work out more, or you need to, putting it all on you. I really do believe that some of that seeps into us, and for some women, a lot more seeps in than others, but for me, I know it did seep into me, and it didn't matter what compliments I got from anybody else, it didn't matter what anyone else said to me, or anything else that was kind, I desperately, desperately needed it from him.
And I think that's the whole problem, that, you know, the man who you take in good faith to be your partner for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
you do everything in your power to please him, become the woman that he wants you to be, and it's never good enough, and he's never happy. And mm-hmm. the funny thing is that when he puts that ring on his finger, a ring on your finger, as you were saying, from the time he puts it on, that's when he
right.
starts looking at you like that ring is his trap. He
shame.
Feels psychologically that now he's trapped, even though he's putting it on your finger, even
mm-hmm.
though he's the one who asked you to marry him,
mm-hmm.
you now become his, you know, prison guard.
Right.
And it's all a twisted thinking because, as I tell women, gay men don't think straight. You know, they don't think of the same thought patterns, and what would be logical to us is not logical to them, which is why we can't understand how they're thinking because it makes no sense.
Right.
You know, if it's a straight man, you can kind of analyze it. But gay men, I don't understand how gay men think any more than they understand how straight people think.
Right.
You know, it's a different phenomenon altogether, and especially when it comes to a straight gay relationship that doesn't even make sense.
Right. Right.
So you had to go through all of that, through all these years, and yet,
mm-hmm.
there came the day when you said you're not going to do it anymore, right?
Yeah, it came the day, and I think what's interesting now is for your listeners that, you know, the children play such a big role, because we did have a beautiful daughter together that we have now, and the children do play a role. I felt at the time, and I couldn't explain it the way I can explain it now, but it was a human filter. I was absorbing all this gunk and all these words and all this neglect, and then what was coming out on the other end was happy mom, happy wife, happy neighbor, happy date, happy, you know, just trying to be as together as I could to really filter the rest of the family from all this stuff that I was dealing with, because I couldn't bear to put it on them or to have them know, well, gosh, mom, why is mommy sleeping in the bonus room on the futon for 4 years? Gosh, daddy snores. Daddy snores so loud. I mean, all of the things that we do to shield our kids and protect them, because it's hard enough being a kid, and then you add any other kind of dynamic, and I think that's just the nature of wanting, you know, turning yourself inside out and backwards for our kids like we do. So I know in retrospect, those who know me now and those who know what I've been through, they totally understand why I stayed for as long as I have. But it did get to that point where I physically was breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And I physically I felt ill. I felt physically, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't focus. I was a bundle of nerves. I was needing things to help me sleep. I was needing coffee throughout the day. I would either be super thin, or I'd feel like I went through a period for a month of where I just, you know, Christmas was over, but I was still making Christmas cookies just because that sugar addiction was within me. And it was, so it really, I started to physically not look in the mirror and like what I saw. And I thought, for somebody such as myself who had been in 1988 in a near-death car accident and tried to claim my health for all the years since then, and really was well-read on different healing modalities and interested in foods and all of these things, I thought, I'm not doing for myself what I would want my daughter to do for her. And I took that very personally, and I thought, I never understood what it was to love yourself until I went through this. And I finally found Janine, and I'm totally not handing that over on a silver platter to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had to get
very vigilant. I had to roll up my sleeves. I left the pharmaceutical industry, and I got into health coaching in 2007. And I knew what the book said, and I knew what the advice was. And now all I could think of was, I've got to do the biggest detox of my life. And it's not a caffeine detox. It's not a detox for a cruise. It's not a detox for, you know, because everyone else at the office is doing it. I said, this is a life or death detox. And so once I started to honor my ticker, as I like to put it, and started to say, what can Janine do? I cannot control the fact that he is going to get mad and flip over the table. I cannot control the fact that it will be, you know, I'll be sleeping in a separate room again for the third year in a row. I cannot control that he's going to tell me I look like, you know, a piece of you-know-what, and that, you know, we're all going to be on edge when his energy comes into that house. What can I do? I've got to be able to do something. And that's when I started to really focus on the food and the drink and the exercise, all without guilt. And that's when that shift started to change for me. And I nourished myself because I was not going to get it from him. And I also knew that even though he kept begging me for years, go get a boyfriend, go get a boyfriend, leave me alone, leave me alone, I still, you know, in Italian we say stunad, I still wasn't thinking clearly, and I never thought it was the issue at hand. But I knew that I was was not going to sabotage my integrity for this person, because let's face it, anybody who's been told certain things for years and been made to feel unattractive, the thought crosses our minds. Like,
for
there's
sure.
got to be somebody, you know, that validation. But I realized that in the end, that he was pushing me to do that, that I was not going to cave, because then he'd too easily be able to say the marriage ended because of that. And I wasn't going to give him that. So
mm-hmm.
I had to look within. I had to strengthen myself. I had to, and it was scary, because that would mean that I'd be at yoga practice when I was supposed to be cutting his vegetables. Or that meant that, you know, I might have to get a babysitter so I could go out for, you know, a hike or a walk or something like that, and then he wouldn't have me at the house. So it was scary. It was definitely a process, because it required breaking free from that control, not just choosing water over wine. It required me having to say no to him sometimes.
And that is difficult, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. And I see there are friends that live in the neighborhood where I used to live, wonderful, beautiful, supportive, honorable people that I have better relationships with now, and we talk more and we see each other more, because when I was there, my time was all spoken for, because there was just not a whole bunch I could do right. So it's scary. It's scary to take back and reclaim your health, but I absolutely know it could be done, because I was that girl that wasn't sleeping. I was that girl who, you know, wasn't eating healthfully. I was the girl who had to take deep breaths just to get through the day so I could be at carpool or at soccer practice or wherever my kids needed to be. And it was scary, but absolutely can be done.
Would you say that you were going through a bad depression during this period of time?
I would say that I was. It probably didn't look like the typical depression that we see on the
right.
on the commercials. You know, I wasn't like laying in bed all day and couldn't get
mm-hmm.
up. I think my depression manifests itself as I go inward a lot, and
mm-hmm.
maybe I didn't reach out to people, or maybe I just kind of internalized things. And so my depression, I go inward, and then people would say, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on? But I just couldn't reach out. I couldn't be up for people that I wanted to be up for, and I didn't want to be Debbie Downer, so I went inward. So I guess you could say that I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think about medication for depression?
I thought about it, yes. I never did. I did have to use sleeping pills situationally. Thank God I never
right.
really got addicted to them. But there were times where I thought, it's easier to knock myself out than to deal with this pain of
exactly.
laying next to somebody, yeah, who told you, you know, like, I can't stand the sight of you, and did use the words, this marriage is a prison, over and over and over. It was like, pass the broccoli, this marriage is a prison. You know, by the way.
And I never understood those messages either, because my ex-husband always used to say to me, I feel so trapped. I feel so trapped.
Mm.
And I would say to him, trapped in what way? I mean, you know, I'm not trapping you. I
right.
love you. I want to be with you. Well, that, you know, you make me feel trapped. I don't have, you know, I have to, he just felt trapped because he didn't,
right.
he didn't belong where he was. So that's why.
Right.
But I'm
right.
saying
exactly.
that I, you know, they always. I always felt like so bad. Like, how am I trapping him?
Right.
And then, you know, you get
so sad.
Right.
It's so sad, because I can remember a particular evening, and you know, the holidays are upon us, and it's like, you know, we all can find joy in our lives, but there is that big, that heaviness to it, that heaviness in your heart. But I can remember having his favorite wine poured, and he did like to cook, so I would get a lot of the prep stuff ready, but I remember having his favorite wine poured and Christmas music on. It was like Frank Sinatra in the background, and it was really light, and the Christmas tree was on, and my daughter, her homework was done, and the house just smelled, was good. I was burning some candles, and everything was so nice, and I remember thinking, why did he come home and say he feels trapped? Like, who wouldn't want to walk in to a happy wife? I'm not saying your daughter did this today or your stepson did this today. I mean, it was just like, hey, honey, welcome home. But it just wasn't good enough. And he felt trapped. And I remember thinking, who would feel trapped? Like, this is so nice. I would love to come home to this. You know?
Exactly.
But,
and that's why
yeah.
I really do feel that so much of our life is taken away by this. And that's why I'm so happy when you, you know, agreed to come on the show, because of the fact that so often we are losing ourselves in these marriages. We don't even know who we are anymore. And it's so important for women to take back their lives, but as long as they live in the state of, I can't do it, I don't know where to start, I can't make a move, I can't even get up, I can't move. And this is, I think, sometimes you feel so hopeless. And understandably so, I am not judging any woman, trust me, because I used to be the same way. I used to have homicidal thoughts, I had suicidal thoughts. I really didn't believe there was any way out of, you know, the prison I was in, because my ex-husband was so strong and threatening, not physically, but, you know, emotionally all the time. You know, he never physically ever hurt me, but the emotional damage he was doing was amazing. And I just didn't see, I mean, I tell women, you know, you can walk out, you really can. But at that point of time, I had two little babies, and I didn't think I could.
Right.
You know, I was afraid he was going to take the kids and run like he used to threaten. So I was just so scared. But I was not, I was really physically in very bad shape, mentally in bad shape. And I wish I would have had somebody like you, who's a health coach, to really come to me and say, you know what, I know you're not in good shape, but you can get strong. There are things you can do that aren't going to take an enormous amount of life-changing, you know, little things one day at a time to keep building up and feeling better about yourself. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think so much of it has to begin with how you talk to yourself, how you're, because if you don't talk to yourself the right way, your thoughts are going to consume you, and your thoughts are, I'm unlovable, I'm overweight, I can't handle this, I will never get out of this, I'm no good, all of those things that go through our heads. But when you start to shift your thinking and say, you know what, no, I deserve respect, I know better, I am beautiful, I can get through this, there's got to be a way, I can get through this. And so I think it all begins with that shift of knowing you want more, and you want more for your children. And for me, a lot of it was, what would be the advice I would give my daughter? What would be the advice I would give somebody I love? And so a lot of it started there, but then it just began with, I need to nourish myself. I am not going to get it from somebody who's sucking, you know, all of the energy out of me. And it's funny, because I know a lot of you have seen Harry Potter, and I know there's those dementors in Harry Potter. And I started to think, I'm living with a dementor, somebody who sees good and happy and just sucks it up and destroys anything that's a ray of light. So I think it started with my thoughts, but then also having the background in nutrition and food, I really started to get more of a grip and apply a lot of the things that I learned to my own life. Even though I could spout them out and I could teach them, it wasn't doing me any good until I actually applied it to my own life, until I said, you know what, sleep is important. Like, sleep is restorative. All of the organics, all of the healthy food, all of the antioxidants are great, but they can't go to work in your body unless you're asleep and in a deep sleep, so your body can restore, repair, heal. So I started to think, what do I need to do to get sleep? Because this is a little crazy. I have this image in my head that a wife has to sleep next to her husband, and yet I'm not sleeping. I'm wearing earplugs. I have a sound machine, and I might have to take something sometimes to knock myself out. How is this helping me? And once I freed myself from that guilt of moving out of the marital bed, and I moved to either the couch or to an extra bedroom, I started to sleep, and I needed that, and I just felt so good once I took that off my shoulders of feeling guilty about getting out of that bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And that was huge. And
I didn't care. I think emotionally, it shows that you are accepting the fact. I always tell women, you have to be free mentally before you can be free physically. In other words, if you don't feel like you are free, you can step out that door as much as you want. You're going to come back.
Right.
It's a matter of accepting the fact, you know what? I've had it. I'm done with this. I am ready to move on in my life. And it may take time. I have to have a plan. I always tell women, be smart, get a plan, see a lawyer, see what your rights are. But the first thing is making that emotional move. And I think moving out of the bedroom is really big, don't you?
I do. It was huge, and it took me a long time. I mean, when I did that, and even that caused problems because it was taking away his control and his power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and even though he would have done anything to cause a fight at bedtime to make sure that I was out of there, sometimes it was weird because I thought, well, you don't want me in here, and yet you don't want me in the guest bedroom. What is your problem? But it was because he was floundering like a fish out of water, and his identity was, you know, something he had to reckon with, and somehow it translated into Janine caused it because she left the bedroom. But once I did that and I honored, I mean, once I learned, like, your liver doesn't do much until 3 o'clock in the morning, and if you're sleeping, it's like a janitor that comes out in an office building and cleans the floors and shines everything up for the next day of influx of activity. And so once I realized, gosh, my poor liver is like, lady, you better help me out here because I can't help you out. And I also picture my liver like an air filter in my house. If you don't change that air filter and you don't clean it, the air quality goes down, the carpets get dirty. You know, the overall cleanliness and health of your home, if you never change your air filter, would be affected. And that's what your liver is. And so to clean it and to keep it healthy, there are, of course, things we can have in our diets to do that, like, you know, simple lemon water in the morning before you have coffee. Have 8 to 10 ounces of room temperature water with half a squeeze of lemon, and your liver is thrilled. And it sets your liver up for the day to be like, oh, okay, good, I know what my job is. And so once I started to think like that, what it was physically doing to my body and the heart palpitations at night, and I started with the sleep, and I started doing things that I would do for a baby at night. I wouldn't put a baby in front of a TV to sleep. I wouldn't put a baby in front of a computer to sleep. I wouldn't put a baby on the phone. What would I do to get a child to sleep, and how could I connect to my inner child? So a lot of that was, you know what? The homework's done. The kids are in bed. I'm taking a bath, and I'm going to put 3 cups of Epsom salt in there, and I'm going to sit in there until I feel like coming out. And it was the bath and the ritual and treating myself with the care that I would my own children.
Uh-huh.
And winding down and sleeping and having some chamomile tea and all of that stuff, getting back into that ritual that we know we do for babies, but we don't do it for ourselves.
And I think that's first loving yourself enough to realize that you deserve something better, right?
Right, right. And even while I was in the bathtub, I would think, oh, I need to go over those spelling words with my daughter. She's getting the I and the E confused. Or, gosh, I know she's going to want her particular cup, and I put it on the top shelf of the cabinet, and I'm in the bathtub. So even when you're physically in the bathtub, your brain is thinking about everything else that's going on in the house, or, you know, a test my son was studying for, and how late was he going to be up, and all of these things. But like anything else, the more you do it, the more your body's like, okay, this is bath time. I'm supposed to relax. I'm going to turn off all the other noise in my head, and I'm going to chill, and I'm going to relax. And that really does help us sleep. So I started, and again, the hard thing is some of the times we know some of these things to do, but the hard thing is saying, I'm worth it. Because I'm going to get in trouble for something anyway. I'm going to get yelled at for something anyway. I might as well take my bath. That's how I started to think. And kind of pull away my energy, because when my energy was connected to his, he could tap into that and control me with whatever it was, whether it was food or the house or the messiness of the house. I mean, I used to get a phone call. We had a cleaning lady who'd come every other week, and I'd get a phone call, and he'd say, "Was the cleaning lady there today?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, keep the house neat. I don't want anything out of place." And I'm thinking, wow, like, really? Are you not that busy that you're calling and thinking about, you know, I don't know, something on a different shelf in the fridge? It could be anything. You know that. So,
right. Although a lot of them really like to keep a neat house, and there's a reason for that.
Oh, absolutely, because they can control it.
That's one thing they can control, because they can't control their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can't, you know, that's something, and that's why they try to control their families, because they're so out of control in their behavior.
Right, and they're so out of control. Mm-hmm.
They're out of control, and they're also so afraid that we're going to uncover their secret. Mm-hmm. So were you able to uncover his secret?
I was able to uncover it, and I remember in so many of your writings and, you know, your contact through your newsletters, I remember you saying you might never walk in and see it with your own eyes, right? And so in my journey, Bonnie, that gave me a lot of peace. It validated my suspicion. It validated my visceral questioning of things. It validated all of the puzzle pieces that didn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
But I was always that girl who was like, I need proof. But then I did hire a private investigator, and I did get enough proof that I know that women are a cover. And yes, dabbling in homosexuality is something that he is very interested in. And that was enough for me. That was enough for me, because you, through all of the things and all of your experience and everything that you wrote, I knew that this person wasn't present because either they were involved with somebody else, maybe they were or were not physically with these particular people, but there was definitely enough there that I know in my heart he ain't into me, and it ain't my fault.
With her, so many of us, that's the way it is, that we realize it all of a sudden one day, there's that aha date, and we finally realize what the real issue is, and the issue is gay. And as I tell people, I don't call it gay anymore, because I don't like to have to debate with anyone. I just call it non-straight behavior, because to me, I don't want to debate if it's asexual, bisexual, confused sexual, you know, whatever it is, it's non-straight behavior. And that's what women have to realize. It doesn't matter if it happens every so often, once in a while, once in a lifetime. If it's not what you signed up for, you don't have to accept it. And it does explain a lot of things why these men have been acting like this towards us, the most loving, caring women in the world.
Right.
So, you know, it's a long journey, and you've been out of it for a while, but when you have children, it doesn't end quite so quickly, right?
No, you're so right. And, you know, getting out mentally, like you said, mentally you have to be separate for yourself and your own needs, and just realizing that your fulfillment comes from other places and that you are a whole, beautiful woman who deserves to be loved. And I found, for me personally as a Christian, I found so much strength in knowing that if Jesus could have so many people against him, I can have one person against me and deal. And I just kept thinking, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I don't know how, but open myself up to prayer and show me the way. And I just kept thinking, I have so many wonderful people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I taking everything that I am and putting in this one person's hands who wants nothing to do with me? And so I found a lot of peace in that, like, oh, I could do this because I can, you know, this is one person. I can do this, even though, as I say it, it wasn't easy. And I'm saying that now that I've moved out, and over the last 2 years, where I really started to, like you said, have a plan, contact the lawyer, share it with a few people who can help you, really get healthy, really, you know, not rely on caffeine to stay awake, not rely on sugar for energy, exercise and take care of my body and love myself to health, which is exactly, you know, how I like to call it. I loved myself to health. And I really, it was such a long journey, but I realized that I am worth it. And when I work with people these days, no matter what their goals are, I work with all different types of people. When I work with people these days, the ones who are successful and the ones who make that shift, it's not about resources. It's not about gym memberships. It's not about whether or not you can afford organics. It's not about any of that. It is the very fact that you feel, I am worth it. Those are the people that make the shift. They've had enough. They're worth it. And if you can physically imagine your heart, not a cute little Valentine heart, your heart in your hands, handing it over to somebody, that's where I drew the line. That's where I drew the line. And I love to remind people that, you know, when you think about these thoughts and your plan develops and you think about how you're going to survive on your own and how you're going to be strong for yourself and your children and financial concerns and, you know, just friends and every part of your life that this seeps down into, when you think about that, you have to think about handing over your heart. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to take your cholesterol and your blood pressure and give it to this one person who really doesn't value you the way that you know you should be valued? And so, like I said, it's nothing short of vigilant. It's nothing short of saying, I've had enough agony. I've had enough anguish. I've had enough torment. I want to live a transparent life. I want to live an honest life. And valuing yourself enough to make that shift. And every single person, our stories are different, but our stories are so similar. And I know every single woman, I want her to look in the mirror and say, I'm gorgeous. Because it's not about what we always think it's about. It's not about prettier. It's not about skinnier. It's not about any of that at all. And that love comes within because we're not going to get it from them.
You know, I think what the words you just said were just so beautiful, Janine. And so many women are really going to feel your message today. I would, if you don't mind, like to talk about some of the beautiful hints that you gave us. Mm-hmm. And I know they're just the beginning, and I know you're going to have a book coming out with lots of them. But
right.
I would like to just preface this by saying that, and Janine and I had this conversation, you know, people are built all different ways and all different sizes, and this isn't just about being thin and looking like Janine, who looks beautiful like a model. Because some of, well, it's the truth, and I mean, that would have always been my dream, but I realized with my body and fighting my dieting and 50 years already, it's just not happening. So now when I stay on a healthy diet, it's not for my weight, which is just like part of my life. It's for my health. And,
right.
You know, I have dietary constraints because of conditions I have, and I really try to eat a better choice unless I'm with a group of our straight wives where I cheat. But short of that, and I really do keep pretty well on track. And a lot of the things that you say in here, and so if we could talk about a few of them that I think are really important.
Sure.
Because I, too, have been throughout my life a sugar addict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took a lot of work for me, you know, to get off the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to try to think of myself as pretty much most of the time sugar-free, only because I know as a diabetic, you know, it really hurts me to be eating
right.
sugar. And even though I use, you know, medication, it's still, my body doesn't balance out right if I'm eating sugar. So
mm-hmm.
you were talking about, you know, when you were feeling depressed and all, but, you know, that you were going through your sugar things. But, I mean, for some people, sugar is just a way of life, and it was really hard for me to withdraw. And when I fall off the wagon, you know, I have to start from the beginning. But how
right.
important, I mean, I know it's important, but from you as a person who doesn't have all diabetes and other issues, how important is not having sugar in your system?
Oh, sugar is, when I think of the money is the root of all evil, I laugh and I say sugar is the root of all evil. You know, sugar is, the average American has upwards of 160, 170 pounds of sugar a year. And it is highly addictive, and it keeps us going back for more. And it does disrupt our hormones. It does disrupt our stress hormones, our sex hormones, our thyroid hormones, our vitamin D levels, our weight. So it really is, it's not necessary in our diets. Of course, we are so addicted. And I just to speak to what you just told me, Bonnie, every time when I do a detox, every time I detox from sugar, I want everybody to know it's just as hard for me as I know it is for you.
Uh-huh.
And it's the kind of thing where it doesn't take much to get addicted to it. I like to explain to people that sugar is like the screaming baby that you go in and you pick up. And you pick up that baby, and that baby's passed out in your arms, and you look down and you think, I can't believe you were screaming 2 minutes ago. You put the baby back down in the crib, and you reach over the crib, and you pull your arm out, and you do the legs first, and then you do the head, and then you walk out of the room, and 10 minutes later, the baby's crying again. And that is sugar. Sugar is the screaming child that we keep picking up, and we wonder why it's not sleeping through the night. So to get a handle on that, it does require that same thought process. Okay, the baby doesn't go from sleeping one night or not sleeping to sleeping. It's, okay, family, hunker down. We're going to be dealing with this for the next 3 weeks. We're going to get this baby to sleep. And slowly but surely, you teach that baby to sleep through the night, and the baby does. And every once in a while, the baby wakes up because has a cold or, you know, all those things that go on with, you know, just living. But the sugar is the same way, and every time you give into it, the cravings get worse. And so it requires, usually within 3 to 5 days, you'll be a bear for 3 to 5 days, and you might be crabby, and you might have a headache, and you might not sleep, but that is because it is a drug.
Uh-huh.
And you have withdrawal. We all have serious withdrawal symptoms. It is very hard to give up sugar. But after 3 to 5 days of not having it, I promise you, it'll be 3 to 5 very difficult days, but then you'll look at that cookie dough, or you look at that chocolate cake, or you look at that sweet coffee creamer, and you'll be like, eh, I don't really feel like it, because the baby's sleeping through the night. And so it's that kind of understanding that it doesn't happen overnight, but it's really a very difficult thing, and there's so much sugar in so many different things, of course, from, you know, forget the healthy cereals, you know, they're loaded with sugar, to our coffee creamer, to I'm doing a seminar right now for teenage girls and moms, and the pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks, the tall, which is the small, has 36 grams of sugar. And that's 10 teaspoons of sugar. And so we're thinking, well, pumpkin spice latte. And just so everybody knows, the way to get around that is ask for one pump, because they put 3 pumps of the sweetener in there. So if you want your pumpkin spice latte, get a half decaf, half regular, one pump, get the full fat whipped cream, and enjoy it. But there are ways to get around that sugar addiction. But it's very, very, very important, very important.
I think it's wonderful the way that you compare it, and I think you're absolutely right. I know for myself, when I get off sugar, you know, and it does take a few days, but I always feel so much better and so much equaled out. And I learned a long time ago, you can still have sweet but not use sugar. Is that correct? I mean, there's natural kinds of sweets you can get, you know, as far as like fruit.
Right. I mean, fruit, you know, I can't say right. I always recommend when it comes to fruit, eat the fruit, don't drink the juice, and don't have the dried fruit. The dried fruit is loaded with sugar. Yeah, now sugar is sugar is sugar, and it is true, you know, that the sugar from half a cup of dried cranberries could have the same amount as a candy bar, and your body is going to produce the insulin and react the same way. However, obviously, the cranberries are wrapped in vitamin C and, you know, great antioxidants and all those good things that the candy bar doesn't have. But as far as the sugar, I know a lot of people who are like, please, can I use sugar in the raw or molasses or honey? And I say, you know, the sugar content is the same. It's still going to have the same effect, unfortunately. But
you're right. I mean, I don't have any of that because it does have the same effect on my insulin level.
Right.
It will
right.
go up if it's, you know, molasses or honey. I do use
right.
artificial sweeteners, you know, as far as, you know, artificial sweeteners like Equal or whatever the case is.
Right.
But sometimes, how about the, for instance, if I get the popsicles that are no sugar added? What's the story with that?
So no sugar added means exactly that. They didn't add sugar. It's still, if you flip over the box, it'll have sugar in it because in the fruit that they use, there's sugar. So when it's no sugar added, you know, that is better than something that doesn't say that. I always caution people against things that say light because
uh-huh.
a lot of times when something is light, they're adding other things to it. I subscribe to the belief that if Mother Nature and God made it, it really can't be bad. Whether or not I like it or it's a personal preference, that's another story. But I always like to steer people in the direction of something that Mother Nature made versus a factory made. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with drizzling a little bit of honey on your oatmeal, you know, which
uh-huh.
typically people wouldn't use a lot, to sweeten that up once in a while if you're not putting tons of coffee creamer or sweet, you know, how they have all those candy bar coffee creamers and things like that in your
another
coffee.
Another murder,
kind of
right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much sugar in there. There really is. And sugar is not typically the way we think of sugar as just the chocolate chip cookie or the cake. It's a lot of times the best and fastest way to eliminate sugar from your diet is what you're drinking. So, of course, here in the South, people do sweet tea like crazy. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, cutting
sugar,
out
right?
the sweet tea. Yeah, they put corn syrup in there and sugar and people say, well, I don't have sugar, but I just have my sweet tea. So the best way to cut it out is from not drinking it, because when you think about our ancestors, like, they really had it right. They drank water. and so that's really the best thing to drink, not the juices. I don't care how they're marketed or what they're called. I love Whole Foods, but they have a lot of really sweet juices in there, too, that people are downing. And they're just getting this huge, huge
you're right.
sugar rush.
Sugar rush. I can't drink juice at all. I stay away
yeah.
from it because, you know, with my diabetes, you know, a glass of orange juice could poison me for the rest of the day.
Absolutely.
And people say,
so,
well, aren't you supposed
mm-hmm.
to be drinking this? No, I'm not supposed to be drinking it.
Right.
My sugar
right.
would spike to the ceiling. So I'm not quite sure
right.
where that misconception comes from. But any kind
yeah,
of apple. Fruit, I stay away from, you know, because I just know it raises my sugar. How about
mm-hmm.
with, now, you know, I'm old and heavy, so I'm doing some, like, exercises. You know, I bought a chair exercise, or, you know, to keep doing
right.
something. And I have, you
right.
know, a treadmill. I try to walk on the treadmill. And,
right.
you know, I'm not a gym person. I noticed you're not one either, but you kind of advocate walking, right?
Oh, I'm a big walker. I did a trail today, and yes, I love walking. I do spend a lot of time in yoga studios, which I love, but I like to be outside too. And walking is so slimming and so, you know, helps your body just become uniform and is good cardio, and it's so good for the mind and the oxygen and the vitamin D and just the sounds of nature. I mean, going for a walk, especially this time of year, is just, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how about drinking water? Because, I mean, I hear controversial things about drinking water. So maybe
right.
you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, water is, most people are dehydrated, and then so that first signal of dehydration comes off as hunger. By the time you feel thirsty, you're really dehydrated. So remember, that first clue is hunger. But water is, you know, a good rule to shoot for is half your body weight in ounces, but that does fluctuate a little bit for people. You want it to be clear. You don't want it to be cloudy or bright yellow. You want it to be clear when you go to the bathroom. And water, you know, sweet tea or anything with caffeine, of course, doesn't count as water. Juice doesn't count as water because there's so much sugar in there. So we don't want to count the other liquids as water. But you do want fresh, clean water throughout the day. It's one of the best things for headaches. I can't tell you how many people get headaches and they start drinking more water. And it helps to have a bottle that you can refill
Does sparkling water count for that?
Sparkling water, yes, it would count if you like that kind of thing. For me, the carbonation doesn't work so well, but if you like sparkling water, then yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just want it to be one of the ones, like White Rock brand sparkling, they have flavored seltzer. It has no sugar, no artificial sweeteners. Yeah.
So would that count also as water?
It would count as long as it's not the one that has Splenda in it or NutraSweet or an artificial sweetener like that, because those are toxins, those are chemicals that over time, you know, are going to build up in our tissues, in our liver, in our lungs, in our heart, in our blood. So
mm-hmm.
you want it to just, you know, have no sugar but no sucralose, which is Splenda, and things like that. You want it to be very minimal. So water is very important. It flushes out toxins. It helps our immune system. It helps, it does definitely helps with weight loss, because when you're drinking 10, 12 ounces of water 20 minutes before you eat something or half an hour before you eat something, you are going to be more full. So it's just sheer volume that's in your stomach. So it does
mm-hmm.
help. Mm-hmm. It does. And it brings mental clarity. It helps with sleep. Definitely helps with headaches. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't mind, before we wrap up, could you just mention about magnesium?
Magnesium, the miracle mineral. Yes. I think I haven't met anybody, let's put it this way, I haven't met a patient or a client who I would not have on magnesium. And even the doctor that I work with, he's such a big fan of it. He's wonderful. Magnesium is a mineral, and it's the biggest mineral missing from our Western diet, and that is because it's found mostly in dark leafy greens, which when
mm-hmm.
you think about the biggest, strongest animals, giraffes, elephants, they eat leaves. And I always remind people, everything we need is in a plant-based diet. Not that you can't have meat or enjoy fish, but to the extent that we do is, I think, problematic in our Western diet. But the leaves is where magnesium is so much in dark leafy greens, and it's in nuts, and it's in seeds. But I don't think we get enough from our diets and our toxic overload. Our bodies work really hard to survive in this country and globally, really. Our bodies work really hard. So even with the perfect diet, I just don't think our digestive tracts are able to absorb a lot of the magnesium that we get. So magnesium, one of my favorite brands is Kal brand. It's K-A-L.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pill, and I'm not going to lie, it's a big pill, but I'll be honest. When you take that pill, you don't feel like you've taken a big pill. It dissolves so nicely, and it's almost like having a glass of wine. You know that chilled out feeling that you get? If you have a glass of wine or something, it's wonderful. And I recommend 400 to 800 milligrams a day, because it will help with everything from PMS. It's huge for insomnia, cramps. Bone health, it's huge for bone health too. When you think about the osteoporosis in this country and how
mm-hmm.
high it is, and everybody's taking all this calcium, and for me, I'm like, there's such a huge disconnect for this. So magnesium is like the truck driver that gets the calcium to your bones. Without magnesium, we get calcification and brittle bones, and we get calcium buildup, whether it's our arteries, our joints, in the form of kidney stones or anything like that. So magnesium really is needed to get all the calcium to our bones. It helps with colon cancer and depression, and it really is, they call it the stress mineral. So 400 to 800 milligrams a day is really, start with 400, which is one pill, and then
uh-huh.
take 800 if you need 800 in two different doses. Everybody should do that. I actually have a chewable one for my daughter, and she's 10. It's great.
So, again, the brand you recommend is Kal brand. It's K-A-L.
K-A-L. That's the pill. And remember, if you buy something, whether it's Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or even your local grocery store, depending on where anybody is, most stores will take something back. If you buy it, you say, gosh, this didn't work for me, can I get a store credit? They'll do that, because I always tell people wasting money is not healthy either. There's also
mm-hmm.
a brand that is a powder, and it's called Calm, C-A-L-M, and it's a powder, and you put it in hot water, like if you were to make tea, and it fizzes up like Alka-Seltzer, although it is totally not Alka-Seltzer. And then you drink that. That, a lot of people like that because it has more of a laxative effect and nobody wants to be constipated. So magnesium is great for digestion. The powder formula tends to go through people a little bit faster. Some people like it, some people don't. It's not going to give you diarrhea and send you back and forth to the bathroom. It's just going to make it loose when you go. The Cal brand is the glycinate form. I think that might be the only one they make, but it's glycinate magnesium. It's very easy on the digestive tract. It does help with regularity, and it just chills you out, and it does take that edge off. The only thing with magnesium is you just got to take it every day. Like you brush your teeth, you take your magnesium.
I'm looking it's here, wonderful. And I'm seeing Cal Pure Stevia Extract Powder. But that's not it, right?
Yeah. No, Cal is a brand, and they do make all different sorts of things. Stevia is a great sweetener.
I'm looking for Cal Magnesium, right?
Yep, Cal Magnesium Glycine.
Okay,
I got it. Let me give this to everybody who's listening, too. A wonderful website where I get a lot of product from is Vitacost, V-I-T-A-C-O-S-T, Vitacost.com. You can order it on there. You can order gluten-free pasta. You can order lotions. You can order, all sorts of things on there. And the vitamins I get from there, too. Whole Foods has Cal, but I don't think GNC does, and I don't think, I know Vitamin Shop does.
No, I'm looking here on Amazon. They have it because I just put in my order for it now that you told me to do that.
Oh, yay.
I'm a believer.
I'm proud of you. You are. I'll tell you, I don't know anybody who's gotten on magnesium and has gotten off. And even my dad, he's so cute. He had his knee flares up sometimes, and he takes magnesium and turmeric and stuff like that. And he's like, wow, he's like, it really does work. It's such an anti-inflammatory that it really does calm the nerves. Heart palpitations, for anybody who's got heart palpitations at night, you feel like you can hear your heart on your pillow, or magnesium is really, really a mineral that's needed by the heart in order to function, and it really does calm the nerves, calms inflammation, helps with PMS cramps, and, it's huge with, Charlie horses, things like that.
Well, Janine, believe how fast our hour plus has by. I mean, it was so nice to volunteer for an hour, and now we're already past that. But I appreciate so much your giving us all this wonderful, help and advice. And would it be too much to ask you to come back soon?
No, Bonnie, I would be honored.
Because I think all these health tips are so important. I mean, I want to learn more. I know our listeners do, but also I want to talk to our listeners about going to Janine's website, because Janine is a health coach, and boy, if you want to get your life back on track, she's the one you want to go to. And I want to tell people they can, first of all, go to my newsletter. We have Janine's email address on there, and I posted it on my blog now, so when people go to the blog to look for the newsletter, you'll see about Janine and her beautiful picture, and also her email address is on there. But her email address is her name. It's a www, and then Janine, J-E-A-N-I-N-E, Finelli, all one word, Finelli.com. And I will be asking you if it's okay when I update my website this month if I can just put you down as our health coach on my, links list to reference people to. So that way they can just look coach and click into you and have all your information on your website. Would that be okay?
That would be wonderful, and I appreciate the support, and I just want everyone to know that I get it. I get it, and my heart breaks for you, but also I believe in you, and I know that you're not going through this so that you can be unhealthy once you have this behind you. I know that you're going through this, and I know you want to keep your health so that you can enjoy hopping the fence. And
Janine,
I'll be there when you do.
You're just an amazing guest. I am so impressed. So happy to have you part of our network. And I'll
Thank
be
you.
So happy to squeeze you into a corner and ask you to keep coming back. And,
Thank you.
Helping our women. And for those of you, once again, This road to gay husband recovery is just not a mental situation and not just an emotional situation, but now as Janine's explaining to us, it's also important physically for you to get yourself into the best shape. And also, I hope this isn't misinterpreted, Janine, but also, I mean, we need to get ourselves into physical health because it's a battle ahead of us. You have to have that physical strength as well as the emotional strength, right?
Absolutely, because it will take a toll. Your spirit might be stronger once you leave or once there's a shift, whatever that shift may be, but you've got to have the body to match. You've got to have the heart to match. You have to have the immune system to match. You have to, it's like the three little pigs. You've got to build a strong house because that, whatever comes and blows it down, whether it be a man or an illness or something, you've got to be strong. And so you're building a strong house. That's what this is. You're building a strong house.
Well, I am so inspired, and I can't wait till you come back, and we'll talk a little more, hopefully, when you come back about your upcoming book so that
Thank
we can
you.
Promote it to all of our women. When, how soon do you think it'll be ready to come out?
I'm thinking the end of 2014, just because I'm trying to be realistic, but I would think it would be sooner than the end of next year, so less than a year. And it's going to be packed with hundreds of ways, things that I did every day to have fortitude and strength and stay healthy so that I could love the people that I love. And
that is so inspiring. I can't wait, and we'll be on the road to getting that book out with you. So
thank
we'll have
you.
It ready.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Janine, and I'll be talking to you very soon.
Thank you, my dear.
Janine and me, I want to wish all of you a wonderful week. I think that by hearing this wonderful information from Janine, just wake up tomorrow and drink a glass of water. Start that way.
Yeah.
You don't have to be big, right? We don't have to make any major overnight hauls. But
no,
just one
it's
little
small.
Right? Have a glass when you wake up, have a glass before you go to bed. I'm going to have a glass now. No, I wasn't planning on doing that, but now in honor of you telling you to do that, I'm doing it. And
good. I've got
I'll
one right next to me, so we're having virtual water.
That sounds great. Have a wonderful week. Better days are ahead, and with Janine's help, we'll get healthier with it. Janine, thanks
Thank you.
So much. I'll talk to you soon, and to all of our listeners, good night. And we're there for you when you need us. And have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good night,
Janine. Good night.